One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love. Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes. Let's love.
Y'all, this is Reality Gaze Bunker Edition, and this is...
I've been given a winter coat.
Okay.
Now.
This is part two, everybody, because
I found it in the corner.
We did part one, and then we just signed on to do part two. And Poodle's wearing this hobo coat to something that was, it's either somewhat camouflage, it's kind of like that cheap fleece coat that your grandfather is going to wear to your football game, but it's not really
exactly
warm.
What it is.
Because he bought it at Walmart and he doesn't want to spend more than $22.99 on a coat.
Warm.
You
this was actually no. This was
like a militia member in Idaho.
I do. I am like Ella's extended family.
You
right
look
now.
Like I'm someone from Idaho. Idaho Falls.
This is too much. This would be way too much personality.
Yeah,
and hair.
You'd have to buzz your hair for sure.
But this is a. I believe this was bought at Cabela's.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah,
looks like something you wear when you go hunting.
It's totally a hunting coat.
You're trying to hunt homosexuals.
I'm not going to lie. I found this in the corner of the room.
Is it cold
I don't
in there
go
now?
Upstairs. It's a little chilly. I think my brother turned on the air. It's actually warm here.
There you go. Y'all, so this is reality.
This is part two. I'm in my brother's basement.
And you're drinking something called Liquid Death, and it's just like fucking
mountain water.
It's a straight male name for LaCroix. They just can't say LaCroix because it's French and sounds gay.
It's not carbonated, though.
So it's just, I like this in a can.
This infinitely recyclable can of stone cold mountain water came straight from the Alps to murder your thirst.
Is that what it says?
Yes.
You know what,
verbatim.
Though? The fact that it's not using plastic and it's using a can to drink water, I'm kind of here for it. They should advertise with us. I like them now.
This is Reality Gaze from me in South Carolina because my parents' internet is shit. My brother is ill upstairs, and I'm trying to stay away from them. Hopefully, I do not get Omicron. As I'm trying to avoid it.
Yeah, let's hope not.
Omicron.
It is everywhere right now. Y'all, this is...
Get vaccinated. Please get boosted as well. And
you
got to
wear
take
those,
care of yourselves.
You know, our sissy, one of our sissies. Was it Suzette who made that mask that we love with all the people on it?
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
They're my favorite. But right now, y'all, cloth masks aren't doing it. So
get yourself an N95
or at the minimum a KN95. That's the kind of mask you need to get. If you don't know what that is, Google it. Poodle's wearing one right now.
I am wearing an N95 right now. Very fashionable.
Go.
Very duck-faced.
It's very duck-faced. Yes. You can take it off now. It doesn't add to the look. Doesn't add to the look in the bunker. Looks like you're waiting for.
Mine is a KN95.
Yeah. When you wear it, it looks like you're hiding from mustard gas. So we need to like move on.
Which it's is what terrifying. This place is built for.
Exactly. So anyway, y'all, we will keep you updated on that. Again, as we said in the first show, we're going to keep you updated on live shows. So we know things are very hairy for people in big cities right now. So we are aware of this and follow us on Instagram. We are keeping it,
especially on our live shows in Chicago, which are coming up the 7th and 8th. I'm sure we will be announcing something soon, what we're going to do about that, whether we're going to keep going or postpone. Yeah.
The only better thing than keep going, Queens, is keep healthy, Queens. Mm-hmm. So we were not going to put your health or honestly our health, at risk. So we are going to be aware of that. Okay. What are for the people on the Patreon and Supercast that are,
our bi-curious options for December are number one, Finding Magic Mike, which is so good.
It does look good. It's on HBO Max.
And then we're also doing Selling Tampa. The next version of the Selling Sunset in Tampa, all black women cast.
I hope Sissy Bill knows one of them.
Possibly. And then also a Discovery Plus show called Germaphobe, which is what I feel like right now.
Well, if you do want to see Poodle looking like a germaphobe, you can subscribe to our $15 tier on our Patreon. Patreon is the only one that does video. Supergast doesn't. So if you want to see the video of
really
us doing
great
the show,
light bulb over my head that's kind of looks like an angel touching my face,
or it looks like Queen Latifah is interviewing you in The Equalizer right now,
y'all,
with her beautiful. Beautiful hair. Y'all, I'm sorry. I love Queen Latifah, but that is not role specific. She would not be the Equalizer and have this beautiful, like, just her hair always looks stunning. And I'm like, you do not look like you're about to rough somebody up to get some
evidence. It does seem like she spends more time on her hair than would be for someone of her job description.
Yeah, although I do enjoy The Equalizer and I love Queen Latifah. It should
you
be
known. You watched The Equalizer?
I got into it watching it with my dad in Oklahoma because he was watching it. And so now I'm like, I'm sitting at home going, I wonder what The Equalizer is doing. And then I start thinking about it. I'm several episodes behind.
You know that's a reboot of an old show.
It is an old show of a man. Yeah, yeah. I forgot who's the man. It's somebody famous.
Who cares?
Anyway, Carl!
That's your favorite show. Oh, Carl, I just hope they can talk about Wheel of Fortune next and I'll feel complete.
Oh, anyway. Fucking Pat Sajak. Thank you to all sissies who've reached out to me to tell you that to agree with me that you hate Pat Sajak too. I got a lot of Instagram messages about him.
Well, did you see that there was this woman this week?
Who
won Wheel of Fortune, y'all. She won it. But let's say the phrase was stick it in hard. Let's say that was the phrase. That's what they need to do on Wheel of Fortune. But anyway, so she said stick it in hard.
Right.
Because she was thinking in her head and she paused. Well, apparently you can't do that. So So she didn't win it. And the prize that she pulled was an Audi. Well, Audi fucking found her on Twitter and said, we're giving you the Q3 car anyway, bitch.
Because you should have gotten it.
Audi, fucking if you want to be a sponsor of Reality Gaze and give us a car, we would love it.
I did get about three messages saying, I've always liked him. I'm like, I didn't respond to those.
Oh, well. Block, delete. Block, delete.
Block, and delete. Block, and delete.
They're all dead. Did you see the next week when Jasmine's talking about his ex-girlfriend? She's like, these women are ghosts.
Are dead.
They're dead to us. They are a ghost.
Boy. She's a gift.
She is a gift. Speaking of gifts, let's jump and again. Subscribe to her Instagram for all news about shows and stuff and what's going on. Hey, also go ahead.
I want to say, listen to the first show for me telling my story with Mother Poodle about Christmas. But I want to say too, I had a lot of fun doing cameos for you guys over Christmas. I had a lot of them. I did 8 cameos yesterday.
Oh wow, you get way more than me. I'm fine with it.
But it was really fun. It was really fun doing them.
I did get a cameo from one guy who was like, literally yesterday at like 3 p.m. And he said, yeah, Christmas snuck up on me and I got my wife. Literally, you could tell he got his wife nothing for Christmas and went, fuck.
What a robe.
What do I get her for Christmas? She likes that gay show. I'm going to get her a cameo. So he gave her a cameo. And I did it immediately because I felt so sorry for him because I went, bless his heart. He is scrambling. Anyway, I do enjoy doing them. I just want to mention too. Oh shit, the bed! It just fell out of my head. Just fell. You were talking about
that. Just rhymed.
Oh well, I'm a poet and I don't know it. So
no, you're not.
You were just talking about your mom, which laid me out. Oh shit, poodle! It was important. It was actually.
I'm doing the Stacy thing that Darcy and Stacy do. And Stacy's always taking her hand.
Having your Oh, well, I guess we won't remember. I'll forgive it later. It doesn't matter. Pat Sajak.
It's like about at least 40% of what you say.
Oh, I know what I was going to say, actually, real quick. We haven't talked about this in a while. We want to remind people, if you're not a fan of the commercials on our live, if you're listening on our live feed, that people on the $8 tier of our Patreon and Supercast, it's commercial free, ad free for your pleasure. So
for your pleasure,
I don't think we've said that in like 7 months because we're horrible at promoting ourselves.
Lube is provided, but no ads.
But no, yes, lube is provided, but no commercials. Again, if you're one of those people that don't like us hearing talk about fucking BetterHelp or Native or whatever, we love them, but we get it.
We love our commercials. Oh, you don't get to hear about long stories about my daddy.
I don't know, y'all. When we started that, Poodle was like, I'm going to talk about my daddy. Or maybe it was me that wrote it. I think it was you, though.
I think you wrote the first daddy ad. And now I keep waiting for them to say, yeah, can we maybe not talk about the room, the sex room, or the dungeon that's just chrome decorated?
Because we literally have described
it. Well, thanks, Stain.
They're like,
why not? They're like, well, it doesn't really go with the brand of a Christian bookstore.
Yeah. Because I'm telling you, y'all, if we do an ad for Tide, it's going to be about getting lube out. It is.
Tide's like, doesn't really go with our brand.
Who knows?
So what are you saying?
That gay commercial for Tide that was like a spec commercial. It wasn't even a real commercial.
True.
And it went viral and they loved it. So who knows? All right. I think Procter & Gamble's real gay. Can you date somebody from the Procter & Gamble family?
Well, it does. Proctor sounds like proctologist, so it does make sense.
That's true. What's buzzing? Is that your phone?
It's my phone.
Oh, why don't you put it on Do Not Disturb? It sounds like you're Ella.
I'm in a bunker. I'm doing my best.
I was going to say, you sound like Ella when she's at home and one of her vibrators just goes off. And then
the
her dragon.
Vibrator collection.
And then her dragon starts squawking. Yeah, y'all, that's what Ella says.
It's some anime theme that she's playing on her fucking phone.
Every time she knows she's about to masturbate, Ella just looks around and goes, Where are my dragons? And she's just finger banging herself. And then we just hear. All right. Okay.
And the Sailor Moon theme. Oh, God. We're going to talk about Ella in a minute, but first let's talk about Mike.
Mike and Hemena.
Hemena. Mike, who again, as you said, the Charlie Brown character. I've been laughing every time I think about Mike's mother on her deathbed. Going,
that was pretty horrible. It's pretty horrible. Mike, don't comfort me. My dad has cancer and he's not doing well, so I can make a joke about it. We should. Oh, that is. Yeah.
Also, a sissy found a picture of Mike's mother. Through his brother's Instagram, the mom genes.
They look just alike. They look just alike.
Yeah. All the brothers look like the father. He looks like mama.
I just upset it not thinking I should say that. Y'all do send a Dad's not doing well. We can't get anything to beat this cancer back because fake cancer is pretty strong. So if you think of it, send a prayer up from my pop. We're going to get some more information hopefully next week. But the doctors at MD Anderson said, we're not giving up on you. We've got options. So we're hope, as you said, hope is a thing with feathers. So
hope is a thing with feathers, y'all, that purchase in your soul.
It is.
You keep singing the tune, even though it's dark.
Exactly. So he's got good spirits. He had a great Christmas. So anyway, I said that and then I went, oh Lord, everybody's going to email me. So I better say something of an update. And that's your home health minute.
Oh,
there is a home health minute that my brother got.
No,
my brother.
I'm in a bunker. There's no time.
My brother got him out of the truck and the whole way home from Houston, it's like, Dad, you need to go to the bathroom. Dad, you need to go to the bathroom. I'm good. And then my dad, they arrive in Houston or arrive home from Houston 6 hours in the car. And my dad opens the door and says, well, I got to pee. This just snuck up on me. Literally opens the door and just starts peeing like right there holding the door because he had to pee so bad. And then my brother just hears, oh, God, son, I'm a shitting. And my dad just shits everywhere. And my brother has to, then they just, his pants are like down. They have to get him naked in the driveway at midnight in the morning. It's freezing. Then my dad's cold, so he's shivering. And Brian said, you know when you're shivering with shit on you, it just kind of flicks shit everywhere because your body moved. So they had to walk, they put him in the wheelchair, clean him, like it was a whole ordeal. I felt a little guilty I wasn't there, but what are you going to do? So anyway, that's our latest home health minute. I know y'all like father
that
shit.
That might
stories.
Have been the worst one yet.
Sometimes it is. Moral of the story, y'all, go to the bathroom on a road trip.
Yeah. So Mike is packing for Columbia, and he's packing coloring books for the kids blah, blah, blah. And
yeah,
this idea, y'all, of having a Just Add Water family. It's never going to work.
That is exactly.
This is here. Drop. Just add water. Instant family.
No.
It's never going to work. Mm-mm. It's never that easy.
Especially when you both don't speak the same language. Y'all, we got to remember, like, he speaks hardly any Spanish.
I wonder.
She speaks no English.
And I really do believe this. I think there has to be a traumatic event that distances you from reality enough to believe in this. That's why I really do. There has to be some moment for Mike. I think it was the death of his mother.
Mm-hmm. And for Jimena, I think it was.
No.
We find out.
I think Jimena. No. Jimena is clearly in reality. That's the thing. No.
But I think her traumatic event is the love of her life was imprisoned for killing somebody.
Talking about the Americans. But like Memphis, definitely her upbringing.
Yes.
And probably the last relationship she had just spiraled for her.
Yeah.
And then there are people who are just generally awkward, like Gino. Who it yes. just it snowballed and we snowball into awkwardness.
Which I've read some of it. We're finding out a lot of past stuff about Gino, y'all, and apparently
I'm waiting until someone puts it in a neat box for me and has sources because yeah. I'm not interested in finding out anything that's either gossip or hearsay.
That's why we wait to talk about it. Yeah. We try to.
This is if you're listening to this podcast to get news, we do not want to break stuff.
You told a 20-minute story about your mother's oven. I don't think they're here for that, Poodle. I don't think they're here for that.
F2. What's that mean?
And if somebody sends us a message saying, y'all talk too long about that story about the oven, I wish y'all talk about the show. This is not your show.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself. So y'all, he is, I love how the cameras, they interview him. They always stay on him a little too long. So he does something just super awkward, whether it's clearing his throat or glasses adjust.
I wrote that too. I love it, but I love it as a production person, but as him being a person, boy.
Oh, he's so exploitive.
Y'all, he's getting a rough edit. Like he, they literally, yeah, they just show him. He said something like, I hope it works out. And then I swear to God, they did a swallow and they added a swallow sound of him going, I mean, it was almost like fucking Goofy and Mickey Mouse going, Garge.
I think this is a perfect example of when you get people who are just singular and everything about them just shows this way to the freak show. And he's, I guarantee you, this is going to be an absolute dumpster fire down in Colombia.
Now
that we've met Ximena, this is going to be a dumpster fire.
I think this is going to be actually, I think, more of an explosion and more of a shit show than anybody on the show.
Me too.
More than Gino and Crazy Jasmine.
But, well, no, I think there's an element of funny to that because she's just so comically broad as a villain.
Yes.
I don't think Ximena has that sense of comedy that Jasmine
does.
No. It's not funny.
I don't think she's going to be dramatic. I think she's just going to be I think he's going to think she's very cold.
Well, I think he's going to, what he's going to think is the relationship, he thought it was based on love.
No.
And it's going to turn out that
it's not to
her. She's thinking of all the things that what could happen for her if she gets to America.
Yes.
And it's so obvious in what she tells us later, which we'll get to. But before that, y'all, we basically got Statler and Waldorf.
Yes.
He lives with his father and grandfather.
His grandfather, Hyman, and his father, Larry.
What? He's leaving. The boy's leaving.
Yeah, he's leaving, Dad. He's leaving. He's going on a trip.
Can you talk louder to me?
Dad, turn your hearing aid up, Dad. Turn it up.
You know, you're never too young to kiss your grandpa on the lips.
That, you say that every day. We kiss you every day, Dad. Pop, we kiss you every day.
Yeah. Where's breakfast? Used to get the same omelet.
He made those
at Dino's Diner.
Pop, he made those shitty pancakes this morning. Don't you remember? Tasted like cardboard.
And cat pee.
Yeah.
What?
Time for lunch. You want turkey sandwich?
Perfect. Had that every day for 30 years at Winchell's Diner.
He's going to Columbia, Pop. You ever been to Columbia, Pop?
Columbia, Missouri?
Sure. No.
What?
Down there in Mexico. Oh, what, Mike? It's not in Mexico. Okay, South America.
You know what? Mike, wrap it up.
Okay.
I don't know where you're going, but be sure to wrap it up.
You know he said, wear a rubber. You know he calls them rubbers.
Stay out of trouble. Don't go places you shouldn't go.
I need Hyman
and Larry. These two men.
I love them. I need them to be on Pillow Talk. Can you imagine Hyman just watching like Paul and Carini?
What? Turn it up.
Turn it up.
Why is her hair blue?
Why is their hair blue? Dad, they dye their hair now blue. It's a thing. It's the kids. They do the hair that's blue.
God, I don't understand.
I don't know. It's like Smurfs. We watched Smurfs when we were kids. They were blue.
Who cares, Dad? A girl who looked like tried to steal money from me once.
All right, Dad. That wasn't Mom. All right. So
anyway, y'all, they basically tell, they're like, so what's the plan? And he's like, well, Ximena and glasses adjust. Ximena and her children will come and live with us. And they're like, it's going to be a lot. Tight house.
Dad's like, yeah, won't be quiet here anymore. Yeah.
And again, y'all, there's just like cans and jars everywhere.
There's a table in the middle of the room that is just for prescriptions. I mean, I'll be honest, y'all, as a caretaker, it kind of like, it's a little PTSD for me. We're talking about his dad, his grandpa's like 90, but his dad does not look in good health either.
No.
So again, I think that's why I wrote on this. I wrote, I love Mike, and I wrote, but why do I love Mike? And I think I love Mike because
you identify
just the year that it's like, I feel for Mike. I'm like, I just want him to live his life. And I think he feels, I don't think he gets a chance. He's taking care of his parents and he's trapped. he feels this sense he's of trapped. Duty, and it's really admirable, and really like he's just. I do think he seems like a sweet guy. I don't think he seems like a jerk. Do you?
I'm so cynical of everyone.
I think he seems like a sweet guy.
I'm come see, come saw on that. I think.
But I'm also the person that thought Armie Hammer was everybody's next Johnny Depp, and I would miss the mark on that one.
I remember you saying that.
Our friend Sissy and I were into Armie Hammer. Ooh.
I thought he was hot, but like I never thought he was really good. But I loved Call Me By Your Name. And then he said he wanted to eat that woman, and I was like,
Yeah.
Anyway, so y'all, he is on his way to the airport. And
I love that he goes to the airport, and then the producers ask Grandpa, so do you think he should go?
No!
Stay out of it, Pop. He's got his own life, Pop.
You gotta be in love. You gotta be in love if you're gonna do this.
He thinks he's in love, Pop. They meet people on the computer now.
I don't know, Pop. I don't know. It's all, you know, you meet them. When I was growing up, I met a girl from the war, and I never found love like that again.
Well, people don't go to war now, Pop. They just fight on computers. That's what Twitter's for. I love them.
I would watch a whole show about those two men.
I have a feeling they're going to be back.
He keeps saying, Mike keeps saying, this feels like a fantasy to me. And I went, exactly, because it is. It's not real. This is a special kind of, yes, Memphis is living a delusion. Gino is living a delusion. They all are. This is a special kind of delusion that comes out of
pain. He is looking for a Band-Aid to heal a wound.
Yeah. And
where other people have wounds, but they're kind of scarred over. But he's like an open, raw wound that just needs to. Yeah.
And I feel like and I don't want to make too many assumptions about Ximena already. I think I could make a few. I don't think Ximena is even trying to delude herself that she is in love with Mike.
Well, let's talk about Ximena, actually, because we get a 24 hours earlier where we...
In Perida, Colombia. And he, by the way, he talked to her last night. She's not there. She's not shown up.
Oh, yeah. He shows up at the airport and he hasn't seen her.
And we see Ximena, who is 24. She's a single mom. It's the most important things are my kids, Juan David and Harold. There was a Harold S.
He calls them little earthquakes. And I went, I bet
that's Mother Story
Poodle.
Amos album.
I bet.
Little earthquakes.
Well, I bet Mother Poodle used to say that about you and your brother.
They're my little earthquakes.
Yeah.
Cool. That one's a 5.4 and that one's a 4.9.
You were definitely over a 5.
Uh-huh.
You had to have a harness, which she didn't
know. I did need a harness.
You still do.
And you know what? Still, I need to be talked to roughly to mind.
Analyze that.
I know. I still need to be threatened with punishment.
This is getting weird. We need to move on.
And you know what? A good pull always writes my course. So y'all, her kids, Juan David and they are, it's like Juan David's dad was a one night stand. Mm-hmm. And Harold's dad, well, we were dating and I was in love with him and he defended his uncle and wound up in jail. But I wanted to get pregnant so bad that we banged in jail.
Yep.
And I stood on my head to get pregnant. Everything feels like we're in like a Gabriel Garcia Marquez novel all of a sudden, but a very sadder one. It's magical realism. And I'm just like,
y'all, and she didn't say this, but his father killed somebody. I bet she didn't say what it, but y'all, that's what it was.
And she's like, he's going to jail for a very long time.
He killed someone out of
or assaulted someone and is, yeah. And so that's where she says,
go ahead.
She actually said, and now I need, she's straight up says this, I need someone who can support me and my kids.
But here's the deal.
We think she still loves her husband who's in jail.
That's what I was going to ask you.
The guy's father.
How did she talk about her husband? Her eyes were glassy. You can tell she is still so in love with him. It's that's the thing that happens sometimes when, I talked about this once, I think it was on Ear Hustle. I love that podcast, y'all. But when you go to prison, some people, sometimes either the prisoner or the person waiting for a prisoner can almost feel like that relationship is frozen in time. Because mm-hmm. you're not allowed ever to move on.
No, it makes sense.
And so I think she is that. If this relationship is frozen to her, he says that he still talks to his son that he adores, on the daily. So I don't think Mike knows about this. Does he?
No. And how? And this is, we can come at this from a Western perspective and say, this is shitty of her. Why would she do this to a man who thinks that he's in love with her and she's not really in love with him? Mm-hmm. And I want to say that too. I don't think her life is that great right now because she doesn't have money. She wanted to be a manicurist. That's all she wanted to do. She can't work because of COVID.
Can't work at all.
So I think she's going to be turned into a villain for this. Now, if she has been... She has been coloring herself as someone who loves him and talking to him that way and saying, I love you, I'm in love with you, blah, 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 blah. Then I think she is at fault. However,
we need to see them together.
If she's been playing along and never really going there, and Mike is filling in the rest of the blanks, which could be true.
We don't know.
Then I think she's doing what she has to do to survive, you know.
Well, again, we've said this before, that a lot of other countries think very differently about marriage than we do here in the United States.
In the Philippines, we've seen.
We still stand by this. Anfisa is not the villain of that story.
No, 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 no.
George is. No. George is a fucking gross piece of shit. And Anfisa, now she was a little physically abusive, so that's pretty horrible.
A little, yeah.
Just a little by a lot. That was really horrible. But as far as intentions-wise, she was bright-eyed, full heart. So whatever they say on that football show.
Clear eyes,
clear eyes,
full heart.
Ass out, fuck me. That's what Jake says to the defensive line.
Clear eyes, dick out, ass up.
No, they just ruined Friday Night Lights. God damn it. God damn it.
Riggins, it was always you.
Y'all, the next time
in the locker room,
you watch Friday Night Lights, just think about Poodle sucking Clear off, up. Getting a bukkake for that whole offensive line.
Wow. And then Kyle Chandler comes in and just finishes on my face.
Wow. Someone is screaming right now going, no.
And Connie Britton is just sitting there at the door, just nodding her head.
Going,
yeah.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched Friday Night Lights, I heartily recommend it. It's a great watch.
Wow. Where are we now? Okay. So
we're Jimena. So she basically says, so I want someone who can support us. She can't work because of the pandemic she's a manicurist.
And this is what I was going to say. Y'all, I still am like, I don't think she's a villain because she goes through her apartment and she starts showing us all the things that Mike bought her. And y'all,
it's everything.
It's everything. A couch, the table, her whole entire kitchen, her refrigerator, her oven.
He gives her food and rent.
And I wanted money. To say, if you don't want someone to take advantage of you, don't let them take advantage of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Mike chose to do it.
No,
Mike
spent
this money. So I'm like,
I totally agree.
He has but Mike, what he does though, Mike has shown her, this is how I will love you. And so she has accepted that.
Right.
And so why? No, it's not her fault.
I'm saying, though, I think we're going to find out a lot. I don't think she's told him the whole story.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I don't think he knows that. So, one of the son's dad murdered someone with like a piece of wire.
I don't know if he knows a lot about.
I don't think he does. I don't think he's asked because. Oh wait, they can't talk to each other because they don't speak the same language. Again, it really goes back to because they've been together what, like a year or something like that.
Yes.
If you really love someone, and I don't even care if you're a single mom, you can't work because you're stuck at home, then have Mike buy you a Duolingo or a Babbel and learn some English. If you really love this person,
or
and Mike learns Spanish.
He could learn it too. I'm saying
they both could, but it doesn't look like anybody's made an effort.
I would agree. I would also say that
these people are exhausting.
She says, you know, Mike's not like the people I'm normally used to dating. I like big guys, tough guys, drug dealers.
Policemen.
Narcos. When she said narcos, I screamed.
Farmers. Y'all, she's used to dating
she's got poodle. She likes the poodle man. She likes my type.
She, you know, she's used to dating.
I hear you, Jimena. I hear you.
She dates a Doug from Love Left or Lockup.
Now, he did some really crazy shit, so I can't really, I'm not
but
really
y'all,
into him anymore.
She wants somebody with a neck tattoo. Like, not even as a reference, not even Kakua is going to be enough for her.
No, you're going to need to be a little life. You're going to need you kind of need to be a little scared of what's going to happen on a in a really intense sex position.
She likes a bad guy and instead she's going to get cunnilingus from Charlie Brown.
She's getting a minion. He's kind of a bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Walk, 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 walk. Oh, rats.
Every time he's going to go in to have sex with her and she's going to move that vagina just like Lucy moves that football.
You know what? She will, though. That's kind of what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Until she gets what she needs. So, y'all, she says she's talking about her father, her parents, and she's like, I'm worried. Her father says, I'm worried that Mike's not the guy he says he is either. So we don't know who he is. And she says, I'm nervous that he's coming because there are, as in a 90-day twist, in an obvious twist, there are lots of things I haven't told him.
About my life and my past.
What do you think? Besides who the kids' fathers are or
I think she's still married. I think she got married to the guy in prison.
He's going to freak.
Yeah. I think she got married to the guy in prison. And I wouldn't even be surprised if she's been seeing other people.
Well, because she said she basically, I wonder if she's even said she's in love with him.
No. Because and we see that clip of, this is well known now because they show like coming up, they've showed it a million times of her saying, I love you, but I'm not in love with you.
Yeah.
And he just runs off to try to find that football to kick.
So on that note, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back. With Ella. Oh, get ready.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No. The doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with her ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of MeUndies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get, and they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Caw!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and
the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Y'all,
she's the one thing, Ella, blah, blah.
It's Ella, y'all.
From Idaho.
Idaho Falls. I did look up. There is an Idaho Falls. Y'all, that was a, if you don't know what that was because you're older than 40 and you had to have a job, that was a theme from Sailor Moon.
If you had to have a job. That Sailor Moon is a very popular anime character.
No, it is. It is. And, yeah. But we are about... You and I are about 10 years older than that. If we were probably 10 years younger, I probably would have gotten into it. It was so
not
popular.
Me. No, nerd alert.
I know. I admit it.
Y'all, we get the first thing we see of Ella, and I don't think this is
Ella,
going to
Ella,
end.
Ella.
I know, that's what I thought.
I had to every time.
I don't know if this
I made out with a girl named Ella in high school, and she was, and I kissed her boobs in a bathroom at a party, and they were huge, and I did not like it. I was a senior in high school, and I remember going, I need to like this more, and it just was not, it was not comfortable.
Anyway, we zoom in on a cosplay, a version of Ella in a cosplay of the Soul Reaper. And her going, hee-yah! Not a great look for a white woman from Idaho, possibly. But y'all, people do cosplay. It's a thing.
Cosplay, but do people still say hi-yah?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
It feels
I
like
cringe.
Anyway, she's super into anything. This is where we start getting into. There's a difference, you guys. I want to make this clear. There's a difference between being super into culture, like Asian culture, she says, and fetishizing culture.
Yes.
And one, you might say, is healthy to an extent. The other is where it starts taking over what you are, and like certain elements of a culture that you might subvert to be yours, and you fetishize it in a way that may not be healthy for either you or the other person that you might be in a relationship with. It feels like this is what's happening with Ella to me.
Yes.
It doesn't make me feel good, I will say.
No.
So, yeah. Anyway, she's interesting.
Well, she says, I think I just live in a fantasy life because I don't want to think about my real life. And then she shows us, y'all, she has a purple house. It's like a vivid purple, all of it. She's serving purple fantasy. And she's a purple house. And then inside there's dragons. I mean, just
dragons. Yeah.
I can't imagine just. Just like the two or three Wonder Woman knick-knack I have in my kitchen. Four or five. Drive poodles crazy. Poodle couldn't go into this house.
No, there's way too much. She says, I gravitate towards fantasy.
I wanted to escape my real life. This is the first time that they just tell us in the middle of a 90 Day Fiancé show, like when we meet them the first time,
hey,
what their baggage
is. I'm broken.
Yeah. They usually wait. We usually don't get that for like four or five episodes. Like there's a secret. But the producers.
Guess what? I'm a disaster. So yeah. I retreat to online stuff.
Y'all, so her thing is that she has struggled with being overweight her whole life. And she
She's a woman of size, yeah. And she struggled with her weight, yeah.
Yeah, if you don't watch the show, yeah, she would be classified as like obese or whatever. So she's bigger, and so she, it's not something she can hide. And so it's interesting that you drove the parallel with Alina, because it does seem like they really, she talks about, I dated all these men in Idaho Falls, and they all, she talks about her classmates, which I feel for her. She feels like she was bullied by her classmates. Well, she hated school.
She said, I've been in a lot of relationships. She's like, I struggle to find with my weight because my classmates made me feel unwanted. Mm-hmm. So that's why she retreated into an online world. And
she said guys that she dated. She said guys that she dated in Idaho. She said, I've been on a lot of dates, but I just have decided that I couldn't really either trust, or the guys here didn't make her feel comfortable. She did say that. Cut to, we're buying hats for our dog. That's a very cute dog, though. It's a cute little puppy.
So she says, I decided to stop looking for my man in Idaho, and here's where we go into cuckoo world, y'all, and look instead for my fantasy.
My ideal man would be a blueprint of my favorite anime crush. He'd have red hair, green eyes, and a fox demon inside him. Okay.
That's okay. Where we went, ooh.
Okay.
We all live here, and you live way up there. Somewhere way over there.
What are those little clouds that Yoshi and Mario float on? Something up there.
That's when you went, oh, this is another type of delusion.
Yeah.
This is like, y'all, it's all delusion, but it's like those 88 Crayola crayons. There's another color of delusion for everybody. Hers is magenta. Or no, it should be purple.
It's purple.
For her.
It's
purple,
yeah.
Y'all, I'm going to have problems with Ella. Almost certainly.
So we see her like, and she says, I really like a man. And y'all, she says, I would like a man who is, I really get into like Japanese, like the old Japanese cinema. I like a guy with long hair, piercing almond eyes, a fetish, sword.
Fetish.
And then either they got the most just janky B-roll, or they actually put out something on Actors Access Non-Union looking for Asian man to shoot black and white. The footage of where they got this, y'all, was not.
It was super janky.
It was like on Pond 5, like video.com.
Pond 5. But she did say, she does say, oh, yes, and he has to be Asian. So in other words, that's her fantasy man has to be Asian. This, y'all, this is not healthy to talk like. It's just not. It's when you start quantifying someone as
race. I'm just attracted usually to like Asian men or actually Latino men. I like Latino men because I like their accent. So I think this is a good, though. I bring that up because people say that a lot of times. White people say almost like, what's wrong if I just have a preference? It's not just white people. People say this. And I think what you're bringing up to is...
But preference is different than fetish.
Preference is different than fetish. And also, if you say, like, if you say, I only date Asian men, or I only date black men, then you're actually othering the people that you're fetishizing. And you're also canceling all the other people and diminishing them. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
It's not a... But I know that
the entire Asian community does not belong to Ella.
It does not belong to Ella.
Yeah.
But here's the deal is that she found a guy who I think we're going to learn more about fetishizes Western culture.
I know.
And
it's interesting.
In a way, they might have found
work.
They might have found the perfect people for one another to live in their little weird
fantasy. When I was in China, I met a lot of people where it's like, tell me about America, or tell me about they're obsessed. Most of the Chinese that I met were obsessed with American movies.
And there is this Eastern culture that the way some people in West will obsess over like samurai films, they obsess over like Bonnie and Clyde and like the West and like those kind of shoot 'em out. And it, we saw pictures of Johnny. I don't think that's his Christian name, but we see pictures of.
They often choose an English name.
Yeah, they do.
Asian. Yeah. So, yeah.
And so Johnny, we see pictures of him like at all these Western museums and like looking at old like cowboy guns and things. So,
so maybe they can come together in some fetish appreciation way.
Because I'll be honest,
maybe
y'all, if you have a fetish and you're with someone who has a fetish that complements your fetish and you're not hurting anybody, God send you.
Sure. Yeah, I'm just saying when your fetish is a race, it's a little.
It's hard when your fetish is a race. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or yeah, it's so anyway, there's all different lines that people have to decide for themselves and these, so Poodle and I can only speak to kind of what makes us comfortable.
So she basically,
let's talk about it, her quote, Asian Prince, which totally reminded me of Nickel.
Oh Jesus.
Nick, so I met my Persian prince, or what did she call Aladdin? Her
Arabian prince.
My Arabian prince. Oh, sorry, my head got heavy.
My head.
It's so heavy.
So she met him on a site called Asian Men, White Women, which kind of is exactly the way it is. It's explaining what's happening.
And I think, again, that's how she was able to find somebody who, yeah.
And Johnny's 34 from China, and they both love anime, and they became boyfriends, or they became together. They were together after 6 months ago, but they've been talking for a year and a half.
He has an amazing smile, and his eyes are perfect.
Again, she's choosing physical features that please her. There's just... none of it felt good to me. Let me just say that. And she can't go to China because of COVID. Right, there are COVID restrictions for people going into China.
Sadly,
but a bitch like me got out.
Let's take a moment and pause and remember when Poodle was in China 2 years ago.
If you're a new listener, go back to listen to those China podcasts, y'all.
That was it. Literally. In 2019,
Very beginning of the pandemic,
Poodle went to China in the beginning of 2019, right? Or 2020?
No, the beginning of 2020.
I really appreciate still some of you still write letters into me going, Maddie, I remember how you went through. That was so much for me. And really, I was so stressed out about him. So that was all. Thank you for acknowledging what a hard time that was for me, everybody. It was horrible.
No, but I lived it. So, yeah.
The pain I went through.
So y'all,
anyway, but you got out.
He's applying for a travel visa to come to the U.S. And
we see some of the pictures that she has shown him. The pictures he sends her look like him. The picture that she sends him, I think she literally uses like
she's
that.
Filtered it.
Not just the filter, Poodle. She's using an anime filter for her pictures.
No.
I think she is.
I think I was looking down when that happened.
She does not look the same in these pictures. She is pulling a Rebecca of Rebecca and Zied, y'all. And you know that didn't go well.
Rebecca.
What if he shows up with her face on his shirt?
So, y'all, she's on her ranch because she was raised on a ranch. She's on her horse. And we meet Debbie, her mom. Debbie spent a lot of time out in the sun.
Okay.
Let's just say that.
They did. I actually mean this as a compliment. If they didn't tell me Debbie was her mom when we saw her, my first thought was like, that is a handsome man.
Well, I literally, maybe.
Because her hair is super short and she's got wind. She just looks like somebody who needs to be like in like a patriarch or matriarch, but like an adult figure, like the grandparent figure in Yellowstone or something like that.
We've owned this ranch for as long as we can remember, and we're going to keep it.
We're going to keep it. I wrote, Ella's mother is handsome.
So. The mom is asking her, she's like, so what does Johnny think about your weight? And she's like, well, he says that I will help and support you in losing your weight.
He said he will do the cooking. And Ella says, you know, because Asian people, all they eat are vegetables and they don't really eat meat. And I went,
that's not true. It's super reductive.
Yes. Now,
what I noticed when I went to China is, yes,
they eat a lot of meat in China.
They eat a lot of meat. That's not true that they don't eat meat. They do eat vegetables, but they cook with a lot of oil as well. So they eat less of it, though. That is the one thing that's different than Americans. They eat a lot less. But when they say they eat super healthy, that's kind of true, but kind of not.
Yeah.
I think she's thinking about the Chinese restaurants that she's had in Idaho Falls.
So. I think Ella probably thinks Panda Express is healthy.
Yeah.
Probably. Y'all, it's not.
And Mom says
it's delicious.
I just want to make sure that he doesn't take advantage of you. And she's talking about the green card effect, like everyone is.
Her mom is like, she is talking about the green card, but her mother, I really liked her mom because her mom brought up, like, she's just a sensible farm person or ranch hand. Because what she said, she didn't say, we have a lot of people say, I'm just afraid they're going to use you for a green card. Where she actually brought it up, she said, I just know that you're not happy with the way you look. Mm-hmm. And I hope he's not taking advantage of that. And she said, I've been through a lot. I've been through heartbreaks myself. And maybe that's why it's hard for me to trust people. She said that. She said, but then you've been through heartbreaks too. And then she says, remember, Ella, fairy tales don't exist.
She's like, I know, which is a lie because she's still in it. She says,
but I mean, her mom was great.
No, I agree. And she says to her mom that, her mom says, I don't want to see your heart get broken again like your online boyfriends in the past. You got really burned. And later on, she is going with Sonia, her roommate.
Yeah, she cries to her mom, and her mom says, and that's it.
And they're eating with her friend Corby.
She has a roommate, Ella. So Ella lives with her because this is important to remember.
Sonia. Ella is the person. Sorry.
Sonia, yeah. And so they get in the car and they go meet her friend, Corby. And I have to say, seeing Debbie and like Corby, I loved it, honestly, because this is a total personal thing. But I don't know if in Oklahoma, but we have ranches and y'all have ranches where you are, or do you? So we have horse people. So to me,
they look like horse people.
My, like some of the women who always like, cause even as like, you know, being queer than Christmas, you know, some parents would kind of like look at my parents and be like, bless you. And then some kind of like would take me in. And we even have several women at our church that just were like, very short haired, calloused hand women with windburned faces who were the ones that like, really loved me and accepted me and so seeing like Corby, like we don't see that in Los Angeles.
No,
there's a lot of women feel pressure to be whatever the feminine thing is or whatever. Anyway, it just made me miss home. I don't know if you have women that are just like, you think are just good old hardworking women. They don't get their nails done. They're just, I don't know. It made me miss home.
In South Carolina, no. Everyone is obsessed with looking at makeup all the time. And
in Oklahoma, there's most women, but then but ranch people, they're a whole.
Yeah, we don't have that. We don't have that culture. Maybe, I think you probably would with the farmers. We don't have that culture anymore. It's died out.
It's died out, yeah.
But exactly. I mean, you'll see people who don't wear makeup, but it's a different look altogether.
Yeah, staying here in LA.
But I would say that, this was very revealing about Ella, y'all, is that she's like, yeah, and remember, because Corby is talking about her husband, who is Taiwanese.
Yes.
Like, oh, we all will cook for him. And she's like, I can't believe it. Like, you're the one who married an Asian guy. And I'm the one who likes Asians. And I went,
just like,
oh, you're this person.
You're
That's when I went, ugh. I want to be known for the girl who likes Asian guys. And now you wouldn't marry an Asian. How does that make me look? And I was like,
I'm just like
it was like a walking eye roll for Ella for me. Gross.
It's just.
We also meet her friend. We find out that Johnny has a son who is named Stoney, who lives with his grandparents so he can travel for work.
But that's what Sonia and Corby are kind of like. They said they're very supportive, but at the same time, they're like, but who would leave their son for 3 months? to go be with someone.
I kind of get this, but that's happened before. Think about when this, well, Memphis is going to do that.
So, Memphis is only going for what? Like 2 weeks?
Is it really 3 months?
Yes, it's 3 months. She said he's coming. Because I just want to think about it. And we even did this. Think about how much we read Nicole for filth for leaving her daughter for five weeks.
I agree. And we had the same problem with we didn't have the same problem with someone like Hazel leaving her son.
Well, but Hazel talked about, for her, she was doing it as, and maybe Johnny will too, but she was doing it as a sacrifice for her son because she was, in her own words, come from a very lower socioeconomic state. And she wanted to make things better for herself and for her son.
Right. I don't want to judge their situation because I don't know.
That's true. We need more info about that. But we're not judging it, but her friends are. Her friends are, Corby and Sonia are uncomfortable with it.
But they have been talking about, they say, our video chats are really great. I have been naked with him.
I got naked. I showed him my boobs.
And I've been playing, most of our video chats are me playing with my boobie as he touches himself.
guess what? I even use my vibrator.
It's my dragon.
Yeah, I got that. is that what you call your asshole to the boys? That's my dragon. Yeah. Y'all, and then I loved this because Sonia says, yeah, I'm not surprised to see how sexual she is with him. She's very sexual. I mean, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. I mean, every night at 11 o'clock, like clockwork, I just hear, you know, because we share a wall. I think she forgets that we share a wall.
Wow.
Sonia's heard a lot of freaky dicky shit. And then Sonia even says, Sonia tells Corby's like, oh, I was a little surprised. Again, she reminds me of those church women. She said, I was a little surprised that she was told so, you know, so sexual. And Sonia's like, yeah, she has a ton of vibrators, bitch. She has like as many as her dragons. She has that many vibrators. And Corby's like, what?
Then we do hear a little bit about the Indian guy she dated for a year.
Right. This is no, you can't skip over this.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, you said, then we did hear, but no, the way Kobe said it was like, I just don't want it to be like that Indian guy that you met online. And I went, what?
Baking powder? Yeah, everyone leaned in. Powder. So when they met in person, he refused to touch her or do anything sexual. Now, I wonder.
And Ella thinks it's because she was overweight. That's her thinking.
If it's like Alina, where did they see her whole body?
I don't know.
Or
I'm going to say no, since she's sending anime fucking filter pictures of her face. I'm going to say no.
I want to be empathetic here when they're saying, I don't know why they don't love. I want someone who loves me for me. Then why are you sending animated pictures of your face or anime versions?
It's true. We always
want
to put our best self forward. I get it, but not a fake self forward. And I do have empathy because the way we treat overweight people in this country is horrible. And honestly, the way they, at least from the friends that I've known, the way Chinese culture treats overweight people is even worse. So our heart goes out to her in that respect. But I think that's a totally different thing than this fantasy. Oh, man. It's just, do you think she's ever going to see Johnny? Do you think he's ever going to get here? Oh,
no.
Sad, Ella. Poodle says no. Computer says no.
I think he might get here. I don't think there will be. If he does get here, there'll be no chemistry. I don't see it.
We'll see. Maybe we're wrong.
I don't know. Remember, this is episode 3, and it's the first time we're meeting her.
Yeah. We still haven't met the buff Christian guy.
No,
we still
have. You know why? That's the catfish.
We still have to meet someone
else,
y'all.
That's the Yolanda story.
We still have another cast member, y'all. Still,
that's the Yolanda storyline.
And I
he is this season's Yolanda.
And I don't think we're going to see him next episode because they still said they still didn't say next. He's not in there.
No, the big storylines that we are going to be emotionally invested in are Gino and Jasmine, Memphis, Mike, Kim, and that's going to be kind of a joke after a while. It's going to turn into a joke.
But also Caleb, I think Caleb and Alina.
Oh, that's the big one. That is the one that they are setting us up for. Yeah. So the four or five big ones. The others are diversions. Those are versions of a catfish story, or the Andrew and Amira never really quite happened. Things. Should we go on to Memphis?
Maybe it was Memphis. Maybe
it was Summer Nerds.
You know what? We should, because you sang a different Memphis song. We should sing. We need to work on this. We need to sing a different Memphis song for every
that
time.
That was
we
a
have
plan
Memphis.
Until you started belting out when we'd already done it before.
What were you going to sing?
Memphis Blues.
Sing it.
Well, I went to Memphis. I got the blues every day. When I went to Memphis, I got the blues every day. My lady left me. She done left me on the way. That's
sure.
The Memphis Blues.
Yeah, okay.
By Robert L. Johnson.
Yeah. The whitest blues singer known to man.
Oh, I went to Memphis.
Let's just do this.
He took my 401k.
Memphis actually went to Tanisha, y'all. Or she says, I never get over the ease that she says, I'm on my way to meet and marry my Tunisian prince.
No, that's the high level of delusion that's there.
And remember, y'all, no. She's a nurse practitioner in mental health.
I can see every nurse practitioner who works in psych and mental health just rolling their eyes so hard at this point.
Screaming at her. Shout out to our medical workers just in general, y'all.
We don't get a lot of Memphis. We mostly get Hamza. And I got to say one thing.
Whoa.
Hamza. Hamza.
Hamza. Now, let's just do it.
Hamza.
I don't think the dick is that big.
No. And I'm going to say one thing about Hamza. Extreme man baby.
Extreme man baby.
Worse than Aladdin from Laura and Aladdin. But he is hot. He's hot. He's one of the hotter guys that I think we've had on 90 Day.
And you know what's hotter about him, actually? He's cute in his pictures. He looks gorgeous. But then you meet him. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has a big dick, but he almost kind of has this big dick confident energy.
Yeah, he does.
It's really a turn on. Ooh.
He looks good on camera. He's good on the screen. He's
got those DSLs, y'all.
I know he does. Oh, so y'all, he is in the gym. He loves kickboxing.
I'm already there. Poodle exploded in the bunker.
He's punching. Oh my God. It's so hot. And he's talking to his friend. I didn't get the name of his friend.
He's cute too, but he says to his friend, he's showing pictures of Memphis.
He says, Tunisians think American girls are all sluts, but that's not what I think. I just think that it's okay to be free with your body and things like that.
More open-minded Tunisian man. Like, I think he seems much more open-minded than like Ziad is.
But guess who isn't? His mother, who he lives with, Hayat.
Who's gorgeous. She's so beautiful.
She is. She's our age or younger.
She is.
Younger.
But he likes.
And she's a divorced woman. This is very important.
Divorced woman.
She is a divorced woman.
She is, which we're going to talk about later. I want to say, though, something. He says what he likes about Memphis. He likes a plump girl. He likes a woman with curves. Y'all, I will say the first thing they talk about in the edit, he talks about sexy time with Memphis, and he likes that about her. Mm-hmm. So he's very – I just want to add to that. He wants to start a new chapter.
Terrified that he will not find her sexy.
Which is crazy because he thinks she's very sexual. So anyway.
And that's, and the most importantly, y'all, that's a big problem for her.
It is a big problem.
Having that self-esteem.
Because it's love.
I guarantee you this is not going to, it's not going to go away with him saying, no, I like your sexy time. And he says, oh, like, it's like, do I look like me? He's like, yes, fine. You are fine. And in his way, he's saying, yes, you're great. But that's not enough for her. We're going to come back to him saying she's fine. Because you watched her face when he said it.
It was not great. But right now, y'all, mom's waking up. She's like, get it out of bed. Get out. She's saying,
No, mom, I don't want to get out of bed.
He doesn't want to get up. And Hamza talks about that it's common to live with your parents until you get married. So he is 28 and lives with his mom and his sister. But then he talks about how he even says, my mom treats me like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
She does everything for me. And so then we see that Hyatt's kind of saying, like, I love this family. I kind of really like his mom. And it's like they're questioning, but they're not, it's not anything like when, like Brittany's. Brittany, they very much are, she's like, I'm supportive of this. She's like, I just want to know, does she know how to cook? Does she know how to take care of you? And so, which are normal questions coming from Tunisian culture. And she says,
the mom does say, I've seen her skimpy dresses.
She does say that. But at the same time, though, she like buys flowers for him to take her at the airport. Like, she is full on support of this, but she just wants them to sleep in separate rooms.
What you see is that I see as meddling and babying. I see it as just that's never going to do well. I think Memphis is going to have a big problem with that.
Probably, yes. Yes.
I don't see the mother as being such a benign force as you do.
No. I don't think she's a benign force. but I guess I'm basing her off just what we've seen other mothers are like Ziad's sister, like people that really just were so hard and not supportive.
She was shady.
Where the mom does, and maybe it's a fake niceness at first just to see, I don't know. But what it's interesting because, you know, mom says, I don't have any objection to her being a foreigner as long as she's up to par. And she's like, he's my only son. He's my life. And I want to make sure that Memphis is going to take care of my son. Now that you're right, that is going to be a problem because I guarantee you Memphis hasn't, even though she has a fucking nurse practitioner master's, she's never Googled the cultural expectations of a woman in Tunisia.
Nope.
And that's going to come out to bite her in the ass for sure.
Cause she's going to be really pissed that she can't sleep in the same room with him. Because that's going to make her feel like she's not sexual enough, and it's all going to come out.
But is she though? Because Hamza, so later on she says, you know, I want to stay in another room, and Hamza's like, are you kidding me, Mom? That's not how I see things. If two people love one another,
says no. She says no, and even the sister says, Mom, that's how things used to be. But I guarantee you, this is Mom's house, and she is not going to budge on this.
I'm probably not either. But then but that's when Hamza brings up that his mom is a divorced woman and she is treated like a second class citizen.
Yeah, she can't get a job.
So that's, he really wants to go to America to provide for his mom. I could even see maybe he eventually, I don't know if they want to move them over
now,
but just to take care of her mom. Memphis is going to have a big problem with this.
And this is another thing, you guys.
We're going through this just now. We are literally watching Chantel and Pedro. They just saw Pedro's family's home and everything. So we just saw that. And so they don't get it at all.
And remember that marriage is different in different parts of the world, like we just talked about with Jimena. And for him, it may not be about complete love and love at first sight and extreme romantic love. This is someone he likes and someone who he could build something with, and he can get to America and help his mom.
Yeah, and so, I think he's in lust.
Yeah, me too.
I think probably she is too.
It's, in her mind, this is her prince. This is it.
But we even see, though, when they get there, y'all, when she gets, we see a little bit of Memphis arriving. And when she arrives at the airport, he picks her up. They have a sweet little meeting. Like, he's very, he keeps calling her baby. And he's so, you can tell that he's very excited that she's there. But then you see, oh, wait, they really don't communicate well at all. He does not speak English well at all.
And she keeps waiting for him to say something about her appearance. And
he says she is fine because, again, that's a different meaning than where we're from. That's a different thing.
I think he is in lust. He keeps playing with her hair.
He keeps touching her. He's obviously into her, but that's not going to be enough for Memphis. Memphis needs, like, she's probably used to being love bombed by guys who fucked her over, and she needs a love bombing right now, and that is not going to be Hamza. Unless the sex is good. If they fuck and the sex is good, but if they're not going to be sleeping in the same bed, I don't think they're going to be fucking.
When we saw her, my
pan dropped.
I think they're home, y'all. My niece and nephews are home, so we need to wind this up because they're going to come down any moment. They are little earthquakes. They're the very definition of little earthquakes.
Oh, y'all, the three people that can put Poodle in his place are his two nephews and his niece. They read him for Phil.
My niece the other night said, what did she say? They were telling riddles. By the way, if you've ever had a kid tell a joke and said, I've just aged 10 years while you were telling this joke, or when you figured out how to tell it, and I start falling asleep, and they get very upset at me. Anyway, but just near the end of this, I just want to say that Memphis was, when we were watching it the first episode, just to me, this looked like this is a runaway train. Nothing, none of it feels good.
No.
And her family knows it. There's no part of her. This is a 90-day DOA. Sorry.
Yeah.
This is another DOA.
She's just completely, I actually think in a way, she's on a different planet than Ella.
I agree.
Because Ella at least found a guy who's into her planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like where,
y'all, that is the show. That is the show. Tis the show.
Thoughts and prayers for Poodle that he can get back home to LA without getting COVID. I love traveling on a plane with you.
Y'all, I'm so, oh God, I just hope my flight isn't canceled. God.
I don't think things are going to change. They are being canceled. This is true. But it's more time you can spend with your mother.
We need to go. So
y'all, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love, Poodle, in all the wrong places?
Yes. And if your ideal man has red hair, green eyes, and a fox demon inside of him, you can call us.
Call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.